morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Good.
Wow, you're awake. This is good. I know. What day is today, by the way? Is it Tuesday? We're on Tuesday? All right. Awesome. If you have a Bible, grab it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 will be there in a few minutes. And before we do that, let's pray before we get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that you are alive, and we get to see that in so many ways this week. We pray just now for these few minutes we have to study your word, that you would just show yourself true yet again to us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I am convinced that life would be easier without people. Let's be honest. We hurt each other. People are annoying. People frustrate us. People just get on our nerves. I mean, you see people hurt each other all the time. Even as I was preparing this message, I saw my 8-year-old son, Micah, run outside in his Darth Vader costume, and he had his lightsaber, and he went across the street to do battle with his friends, who was dressed up as Darth Maul and a stormtrooper, and I thought they were just going to pretend fight, and they did for a while. They're kind of doing this little thing, and then occasionally a nice little jab here, but then 20 minutes later, I looked outside again, and they were taking the lightsabers and going whack and whack. And I thought to myself, these two kids, I mean, Micah wasn't doing it. He was praying over them and reading scripture to them. But the other kids, they're terrible kids. I mean, their parents don't know what they're doing. And so Micah was there trying to help them, but people hurt people. You can believe that if you want to. I remember being that same week with a couple, and I don't know if you've ever been this with a couple, and you know they're fighting, and they're just trying to pretend like they're not fighting, and everything's fine, and you're like, could you just go and figure this thing out, because this is weird for me, it's weird for you, and there's like this tension that you can like cut through with a butter knife right now. I mean, this thing is just so thick, but the person that they said that they loved the most in the world, they were hurting each other. People hurt people. I was in Starbucks because Starbucks is God's gift to humanity, and I was there, and I watched a mother and her teenage son just go at it. The mother called her son a brat. The son called his mom names I can't repeat. And they left. Son storming off. His mom yelling at him. People hurt people. This week, I remember a moment where I know you don't have this because you're spiritual, but for me, words came out of my mouth at somebody. And you know that moment the words come out and you wish you could just grab them and put them back in, but I couldn't. And they came out and they hit somebody and it hurt. People hurt people. I hurt people. You hurt people. People hurt people. And today we're continuing the series called Greater Than, where we said that Jesus is greater than all the stuff that seems big in our life. And when it comes to other people, the hurt that they cause us, that seems huge. And there's probably no greater area that we need him to be bigger in than this hurt. So let me ask you, who has hurt you? Or who is hurting you right now? Or maybe are you hurting somebody? Maybe each day when you meet with your boss, all you hear is that you don't measure up, that you're not pulling your weight, that you're not meeting your quota, and it hurts. And maybe it's not something recent. Maybe it's something you were told as a kid, but yet it still haunts you. You're not smart enough. You're not thin enough. You're not athletic enough, and it hurt, and it still hurts. And maybe it's words that somebody close to you has said to you, even though maybe even it was years ago, you can hear them so clearly right now, they still hurt. And maybe it's words that people don't say. Maybe it's words that you wish your spouse would say, but he doesn't, and she doesn't. And his silence or her silence speaks so much louder than words, and they hurt. Maybe it's the trust that your best friend or sibling or business partner that you thought had your back didn't. It hurts. People hurt people. So who has hurt you? I want you to grab a hold of that name, because we probably all have somebody. And I want you to think about that person this entire message. Because people will hurt each other. We're humans. People hurt people. And so the question is, what do you do when people hurt you? Well, this is the question Peter asked of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. And Jesus' answer is incredibly simple, but incredibly difficult. He says you have to forgive. And when you're done forgiving, you forgive some more. And when you're done forgiving after that, forgive some more. And when you think you don't need to forgive anymore, you got to forgive again and again and again. But before we see what forgiveness looks like, it's important for us, this is really important for us to understand what forgiveness is not. Because I think sometimes we get this all messed up and it causes all sorts of pain and dysfunction in our lives. First of all, forgiveness is not forgetting. Often people will say, well, you just forgive and forget. But whoever says that is not human. It is impossible for us to forget. We always remember. Secondly, forgiveness is not excusing. Forgiveness does not mean we sidestep justice. It doesn't mean that the person is not responsible for the consequences of their behavior, and if they keep hurting you, and if they keep hurting others, justice needs to be served. You need to fight against that. Doesn't mean you keep allowing somebody to steamroll you. You need boundaries. And forgiveness is not reconciliation. While it is absolutely essentially a part of the reconciliation process, it does not guarantee that reconciliation with a person, restoring a great relationship with them, is possible or even proper. See, a wife can forgive her abusive husband, but it doesn't mean she should be in a relationship with him. She needs to get someplace safe. And you can forgive somebody who has passed away, but you obviously cannot reconcile with them. And so the question is, what is forgiveness? What does it look like, and how do we give it so that we can see that Jesus is greater than these hurts we have? And so this is what Peter is wondering in Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus gives a story about his answer, to give his answer. But before we do that, let's just read the question Peter asks of Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, beginning verse 21. Matthew 18, beginning verse 21. Says this, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Not seven times, but 77 times. And as Jesus answers Peter's question, we'll get to the rest of the story in just a moment, he shows us what forgiveness is. And there's a couple things I want you to see today. First of all, forgiveness says, you can't pay me back, but I'm not going to get you back. Instead, I'm going to give back. Forgiveness says, you can't pay me back, but I'm not going to get back. I'm going to give back. See, here's what happens when somebody hurts us. They owe us a debt. They owe us something. And we go around thinking, you owe me. And to the colleague who went around us to get that promotion, we think when we see them, you owe me my promotion. To the spouse who's never really said kind words to us, we say, you owe me my respect. To the parent who wasn't there for us growing up, you owe me my childhood. Whoever it is, whatever hurt they cause, when we see them, we think, you owe me. And we live with this notion, until you pay me back, we won't be okay. This is how Peter understood life. It only seemed right, it only seemed just that if somebody hurt him, they should pay him back. Verse 21, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? In other words, he's saying, when is enough enough, Jesus? How do I have to put up with people's junk? For how long do I have to do that? Why can't I just demand that they pay me back what they owe? And in this moment, Peter actually thinks he's being super generous. He says, okay, Jesus, I'll give him seven times. And the reason Peter thinks he's being super generous is because in that day and age, every Jew knew you only gave somebody three tries, and then they're done. In fact, a common teaching in that day was this. This is a teaching from Judaism. If a man commits a transgression, the first, second, and third time he is forgiven, the fourth time he is not. The first, second, and third time he's forgiven, but the fourth time he's not. They literally live by the rule, three strikes and you're out. And so Peter's expecting Jesus to say, wow, Peter, I thought you were just going to say three times. I would have been cool with that. But you are super generous. You said seven times. Wow, you are an amazing man. But instead, Jesus refers to everything for Peter and says, Peter, you're not even close. I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. And when he says 77 times, he's saying there's no limit to forgiveness. It's a way of life. He says you can't live your life expecting people to pay back what they owe you. You have to have a different equation. You need to flip everything upside down. You need to change the lens through which you look. But so often we can't. We try forgiveness once or twice or maybe three times, maybe five times. But like Peter, we think three strikes and you're out. You owe me, so pay back what you owe. But here's the thing. People can't actually pay back what they owe us. Your spouse, you can forgive them, but they can't give you back the years that you've lost. It's impossible. Your mom can't give you back your childhood. It's impossible. Even somebody who robbed you financially can pay you back the money they owe you, but they cannot pay back the emotional damage you went through during that time. It's impossible. And since most of us realize that they can't pay us back, we think to ourselves, at least in our heads, since you can't pay me back, I'm going to get you back. Just watch out. I'm going to get you back. We do this all the time in big ways and small ways. I recently read this story that appeared in the LA Times a while ago. It was an op-ed written by a guy named Dave Heckler, who was a part-time umpire in a recreational baseball league. This is what he wrote. I love this. He says this: I was driving too fast in Boulder, Colorado, and a policeman pulled me over and gave me a speeding ticket. I tried to talk him out of it. I told him how worried I was about insurance. I'm normally a very safe driver, and explained why I was in a hurry and so on. He said that if I didn't like the ticket, then I could go to court. Well, first game of the next baseball season, I'm umpiring behind home plate. Guess who the first batter up is? It's the same guy, the policeman. I recognize him. He recognizes me. And so he asked me, so how did the thing with the ticket go? I tell him, you better swing at everything. I love that. You can't pay me back, so I'm going to get you back. Swing at everything. And while we laugh at that, the reality is that's the way we live, isn't it? But here's the deal. When we get back at somebody, we usually get back in a much bigger way than how they hurt us to begin with. Our revenge is so much stronger than their hurt. And Jesus knew this. And remember I said before that when you study scripture, you have to understand there's a lot of layers to it. So you always have to kind of ask, what's going on here? Why does Jesus say 77 times? Well, Jesus says 77 times because he knows that it will trigger in Peter's mind an Old Testament story. Because Peter's a good Jew, and so he knows the Old Testament. He knows it will trigger in his mind an Old Testament story about this guy named Lamech in Genesis. You may not know Lamech. He's a famous guy, though. Lamech was wounded by a friend, quite literally. And so instead of forgiving his friend, he got back at his friend in a big way. He killed his friend. His friend wounded him, so he killed his friend. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 4. It's what Lamech says. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, and don't miss this, then Lamech 77 times. It's how we live when people hurt us, isn't it? We live abiding by the law of Lamech. You wounded me, I'll kill you. You can't pay me back, I'll get you back. My revenge will be 77 times stronger than what you did to me. And so a parent doesn't understand us now as an adult. They keep insulting us and micromanaging our lives as we raise our kids. So we say, you wounded me, I'll kill you. And so we stop calling, we stop visiting, we cut them out of our lives, except for maybe at Christmas, we avenge them 77 times. The next spouse creates a terrible marriage for us. Now we share custody of the kids. And any time their father is mentioned, we make sure to ruin his reputation. On the weekends, they're with him. He doesn't understand why his kids seem so distant and angry. He wounded you. You kill him. You're avenged 77 times. A friend insults you, so you fire back, but your words are way stronger, and you post them on Facebook for the whole world to see. They wound you. You kill them. You're avenged 77 times. Whatever it is, whatever it looks like, so often when people wound us, we end up killing them with a force that's 77 times what they did to us. It's the law of Lamech. I was recently watching a movie about a man who lived by the law of Lamech. His name was Darth Vader. Maybe you know the movie. See, my son, he's really into Star Wars, and he loves Star Wars. I mentioned that earlier. He likes to play with his lightsabers, and like his friends like to beat each other up with their lightsabers. And I know the first three movies of Star Wars don't count because they're not the real deal, but you may know the story of Anakin Skywalker and how he just gives in to this law of Lamech. He gives in to this thing of revenge. His mom's killed, and this anger and this revenge just takes over him. And then finally we get to the fourth movie, which we were watching just last week. And the fourth movie, the real Star Wars movie, you see Luke Skywalker appear. And there's this famous scene at the end of the movie where Luke, there's this anger inside of him because he's realizing that Darth Vader is not good. But this anger is creeping inside of him. And then he hears these words from Darth Vader.
Luke, I am your father. Join me on the dark side. And together you and I will rule the what?
Oh, you've seen the movie too. That's fascinating. And you're watching this, and you're seeing Luke just suspended there in air, and you're saying, Luke, no, you don't have to give in to revenge. Luke, no, you don't have to join the dark side. Luke, no, the reason I know this is a different way, the reason I know this is because there's another movie. It's called Return of the Jedi, and it's way better than this one. And say, Luke, there's another movie coming out. And Luke, by the way, Leia's your sister. Don't kiss her. That's weird. And so Jesus comes in. Let's bring it back to Jesus now. And he says, Peter, you don't have to live on the dark side. Peter, you don't have to live in this law of revenge, this law of Lamech that just overtakes you, and this anger creates this dark person. You don't have to do that. There is another way. There is a way of forgiveness. There is another movie that you can live into. It's my movie. And so he says, I don't want you to be avenged 77 times. I want you to forgive 77 times. In other words, I want you to live in such a way that when somebody hurts you, you say to them, even though you can't pay me back, I'm not going to get you back. And then he launches into this fascinating story. I pick it up in verse 23. It says this, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So Jesus tells the story of a king who's settling debts with his servants, and we read that one of his servants owes him 10,000 bags of gold. And anybody who hears this knows this is absolutely ridiculous. In fact, scholars who study this said that that's probably the equivalent of $2.5 billion. It simply can't be paid back. And so you would think that the king, even though he can't get the full restitution of the payment, will at least do something. But after considering it, after thinking about how he could actually own this guy's family, he sees the servant begging for mercy, and in that moment, the king has a choice. Am I going to get him back? Because the power and right is mine to do so. Will I get him back? But then verse 27 says this, the master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And in that moment, he reversed the law of Lamech. He decided that revenge and getting back wouldn't solve anything, so he forgave the debt. But here's the fascinating thing about this story. The king realized that a price still had to be paid, that this debt was still there. He still had to pay it, so he decided to pay it for the servant. He took the hit financially. You owe, but I'll pay. And Jesus in this moment has given us an incredible picture of the gospel. That at the cross, God could have said, you deserve to be up here. You deserve this punishment. You deserve it all. I should get you back for ignoring me. I'm not going to get you back. Instead, I'm going to give back. Because I'm a God of mercy and love and forgiveness. And that's what he offers us. See, the cross is Jesus' way of saying, you don't owe me anymore, you are free. And what the king did in this story and what Jesus did for us is what forgiveness looks like. Jesus wants us to know that the only way you will ever have the power to do this is to remember what he did for you. Because it's too stinking hard on your own. People hurt us too much to try to forgive them in our own power. You just can't. And so it means say to them, I have the power and probably the right to get back at you, but you don't owe me anymore. I'm not going to get back at you. I'm going to give back to you because that's what Jesus does for me. You really hurt me. And so much of me wants to get back at you, but you don't owe me. In fact, I'm going to pay the debt for you. I'm going to go through a healing process of the damage that was real that you caused me, but I'm not going to take it out on you anymore. I'm going to give back to you. So let me ask you, what law are you living by? Are you living by the law of Lamech? That's easy. I mean, we all do that. Or will you live by the law of Jesus? This different movie that came out that reverses the whole thing and says, you know what? You do owe me. But I'm not going to get back. Instead, I'm going to give back. I will give back to you. That's what forgiveness says. But forgiveness also says, I'm giving back your life so I can get back mine. I'm giving back your life so I can get back mine. See, the question remains, when you decide not to get back, but give back, and said, what do you actually give back to that person? Well, the answer is you give them back their lives. You give them back their humanity. You give them back their freedom. And in the process, you get your life back yourself. I remember a time in my life when somebody really hurt me. I mean, they really hurt me. This was several years ago, and I was in ministry, and there was a close friend. And they took something. They took an opportunity away from me. They started taking credit for things that I had done, and they started just pushing me aside, and I was ticked off. And I know you're more spiritual than I am, but I started to find anybody who had an ear to listen to my pain. And you know how you can do this, or at least I do this, you probably don't, how you can twist a story to make sure that the person listening thinks that you can only be in the right and the other person is totally in the wrong, that the other person is probably the Antichrist himself. And so I did that. And it felt good. It feels good when we destroy somebody. Let's just be honest, it does. In that moment, I felt like I was powerful. Until I got home, and I was cranky around those around me. Until I was in other relationships and I wouldn't trust anybody because they might hurt me the way that person hurt me. Until Heather told me, what's going on? Because this thing is destroying you. Until I couldn't sleep at night. Until I started losing weight. And I didn't even think that was possible for me, but I did. And I sat down one day with this friend. I didn't want to, but I did. And he asked for forgiveness. And I asked for forgiveness. And he got his life back, and I got my life back. And that's what Jesus says happens when we do this. See, when we hold on to bitterness and a need for revenge, it doesn't just destroy the other person, it destroys us as well. This is what happened to the servant in this story. You know, I wish the story ended, and Jesus said, and then the servant lived in joy and showed forgiveness in the same way he received it, but it doesn't. And the reason he doesn't is because it's so easy to receive forgiveness, but so hard to give forgiveness. Let's look at the rest of the story. It's fascinating, but sad. Verse 28, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Remember, this guy has just been forgiven of 10,000 bags of gold. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. See, here's what happens. And here's our problem. This is what happened in the story with this person here is that he shrunk the person down to his pain. And that's what happens with us. We shrink the person who has hurt us down to our pain. Maybe we could picture it this way. We first see the person like this, but no longer do we see the person like that anymore. We no longer see them as a person as we go through here, and we want to get back at them. When we see them, we don't see them. We only see the pain that they have caused us. We only see the hurt that they inflicted upon us. This is what happened in the second part of the story. The servant's been forgiven, but he's been hurt by somebody else. And the debt that was owed him was nothing compared to his debt. Remember, his debt was about $2.5 billion, and the debt that was owed him, scholars estimate, was probably around $4,000. And yet it's still significant. The fact is, he is owed this debt, and it makes the servant go crazy. He wants to not only be paid back, he wants to get back, and he gets violent. Verse 28, he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And I think Jesus' point is this, that the size of the hurt doesn't actually matter. I mean, we all have different hurts, and some seem bigger if we're just to kind of stack them all up against each other. But the reality is that your hurt seems big to you, whatever size it is in reality. And even though they may be begging for our forgiveness, we can't hear them. And so we get back at them. We live out the law of Lamech. We lock them in a prison they can't get out of. And worst of all, we forget what God has done for us and what others have done for us. We forget that God has forgiven us more infinitely than we even are asked to forgive others. Verse 32, this is why the king's so mad. "Then the master called the servant in, 'You wicked servant, I cancel all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?'" In other words, don't you remember what you received? This is just a few thousand bucks. I forgave you of billions. Why couldn't you do that for him? Why did you forget? Let me ask you, that name you had that I asked you to grab hold of, how have you stopped seeing that person as a person and now you just see them as a pain that they've caused you? Who is it that's making you forget how God has forgiven you so much more that you're refusing to forgive them? See, when you only see the pain, you read into every move and every nonverbal cue they give you, exaggerate the things that they say, and the pain grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and their humanity grows smaller and smaller and smaller, and we shrink the humanity right out of them. Lewis Meads writes about this in a great book on forgiveness. He says this, "We shrink him down to the size of what he did to us. He becomes the wrong he did. If he has done something truly horrible, we say things like, 'He is no more than an animal,' or 'He is nothing but a cheat.' And our no more thans and our nothing buts knock the humanity out of our enemy. He is no longer a fragile spirit living on the fringes of extinction. He is no longer a confusing mixture of good and evil. He is only... He is totally the sinner who did us wrong. And the only way to give them back their humanity, the only way to see them as a person again, is this thing called forgiveness. And don't miss this. And this is the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is both a point and a process. It is both a point and a process. In other words, there comes a moment when you've experienced this pain from this person that you have to forgive them for the first time. And that's a hard moment. That's like a major hurdle to get over. But it's not just that. You have to keep forgiving them, Jesus says. This is when we give back. This is when we forgive. Because here's the deal. You can forgive them once, and then they do something that reminds you of the pain all over again. And you say, well, I'm done with that. I tried it. It didn't work. But forgiveness, Jesus says 77 times over, you have to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And when you're reminded of them, sometimes it's even when you just see them. It just stirs up all sorts of anger and hurt inside of you. And you have to keep forgiving. And as the more you forgive, the more you go through this process of forgiveness with them, the more their humanity comes back. And no longer do you see the pain as much, even though it's still there. You now see the person. And their humanity grows back, and soon you're distanced now from the pain. And so now you're starting to see them as a real person, as somebody, yes, who messes up at times, as somebody, yes, who has hurt you, and yet somebody who is a real person, who has, and I know this is hard to, with the person who's hurting, I know sometimes this is hard to see, who has the image of God inside of them, and is a beautiful person created by God as a masterpiece. Smeads concludes with this. As we start on the miracle of forgiving, we begin to see our enemy through a cleaner lens, less smudged by hate. We begin to see a real person, a botched self, no doubt, a hodgepodge of meanness and decencies, lies and truths, good and evil that not even the shadow of his souls can wholly hide. We see, and I love this, we see a bubble held aloft by the blowing of a divine breath. We see a human being created to be a child of God. So when you start to see this, you not only give them back their divine image, you get yours back too. But when we fail to forgive, and this is kind of how this story ends in a very sobering tone, there are things that happen. First of all, let me just mention a couple. We lose our ability to trust and be trusted. When we fail to forgive, we lose our ability to trust and be trusted. Since we've been hurt by this person, we assume that other people can't be trusted either. And we refuse to open our hearts up to them because what if they do the same thing to us, what that person did to us? Hey, this is why when you're mad at your boss, incidentally, you take it out on your spouse. Hey, this is why when you're mad at that colleague who kind of backstabbed you at work, you're grumpy with your kids because you don't want to be hurt again. And so your guards are up and your anger is coming out. And people notice and they stop trusting us as well. This is what happened with the servant. He refused to forgive, not only to destroy his relationship with the person who owed him money, it destroyed his ability to relate to anybody. Verse 31, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. In other words, we see how you treat others and we don't want you to treat us this way. We can't be in a relationship with you. And they turn him in. We lose our ability to be trusted. But secondly, and very soberly, we miss out on God and we're handed over to destruction. We miss out on God and we're handed over to destruction. We miss out on who God is. We disconnect from the very core of his heart because he's a God of mercy and love and grace. And if we're not that, we're not connected with him. And he can't stand to see that happen. So verse 33, the king says to his servant, why did you forget about who I am? You know I'm full of mercy. You know I'm full of grace. You know I'm full of forgiveness. Why didn't you see that? And this is what Jesus is saying here, that when we live in a world of hate and revenge and unforgiveness, we are moving ourselves out of the heart of God, completely out of his heart, far away from him. See, forgiveness and mercy and love are the whole point of Scripture. It's at the heart of the cross and at the heart of God. And when we forget that, God's heart breaks and he hands us over to our own destruction. Verse 34, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. See, this couldn't be a more serious issue for Jesus. He's saying this, and please don't miss this, if you decide to live in unforgiveness, and if you decide to live in a way that when you get hurt, you get back, you seek revenge, you do the Lamech thing, he's saying that's not how I made you. And because that's not how I made you, you're going to live out of line with me, and it's only going to lead to your own demise and destruction. He hands us over to it. So it destroys our relationship with the person who hurt us, sometimes permanently. It destroys our ability to relate to other people. It destroys, and I see this time and time again, even in my own life, it destroys our positive outlook on life and makes us cynical people. It destroys our health and our ability to sleep at night. We didn't even talk about that. It destroys the joy we once had, the smile that we've now lost. It destroys our ability to open up our heart and risk love again. It destroys our ability to hear God and to be with God. It destroys absolutely everything. And Jesus is saying, just don't go down that road. That's not what I created you for. And my guess is that if you're living this way, you know how it's destroyed you. And if you don't know that yet, I just want to be the first to warn you, it will happen, but it doesn't have to be that way. There is a new movie. There is a different way. A way where you don't get back, but you give back. A way where you decide to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And when you're done forgiving, forgive and forgive and forgive. Because every day, that's what God does for you. That's what he does for you. And when you show that to others, 77 times over, God gives you back your life. So who is it? Who is that person that has hurt you? I know that hurt is real. And I'm so, so sorry you've been through it. I really am. But I don't want to see you hurt anymore. And bitterness and revenge will only make you hurt more. Would you just take the way of Jesus and say, you don't owe me anymore. I forgive you. Let's just take a time of prayer right now. I'm just going to ask you in this moment, for that person or maybe people or group of people in your life right now where there might be bitterness and hurt and revenge that you want to get, would you just ask God to give you the courage to forgive them? Maybe even right now you can take the step of saying to God just quietly in your heart, I forgive them. I forgive him. I forgive her. Doesn't mean you don't have to deal with putting up boundaries. It doesn't mean there isn't justice that needs to be handled. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you're going to give up your right to get back at them. And maybe you've hurt somebody else. Would you just ask God for forgiveness for that in your life? Whoever it is that you need to talk to, maybe even this week, maybe they're here. Would you ask God to give you the words to just sit down with them and say, hey, can we talk? Maybe you need to call somebody. Maybe you need to write an email, whatever it is. Would you ask God right now for the courage to do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who shows us the way in our relationships. And God, I know a talk like this can stir up a lot of pain that we have from how people have hurt us. We don't always know the way forward. So God, would you give us wisdom, but would you above all else allow your love to flow through us to the other people? May people see what we experience in you, a love that doesn't get back, but a love that gives back. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.